Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to LG Equipment's Q1 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by Asian Markets Securities Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not a guarantee of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. Actual results may differ from such expectations, projections, etc. Whether expressed or implied, participants are requested to exercise caution while referring to such statements and remarks. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kamlesh Kotak from Asian Markets Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Bilal. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Asian Markets, we welcome you all to the 1Q FY22 earnings conference call of LG Equipment Limited. We have with us today Mr. Jairam Varadarajan, Managing Director, representing the company. I request Mr. Jairam to take us through the overview of the quarterly results, and then we shall begin the Q&A session. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Kamlesh. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us this evening. I hope I can make this interesting for you. This is a very funny quarter because the reference quarter of the prior year is an irrelevant quarter because for almost 2 months of that quarter, there was no business. So if I do a comparative analysis of the two, we will look like we are doing exceedingly well. And that wouldn't present the right picture about the current performance status of the company. So I don't want to. One option was to look at the second quarter of last year as a basis to compare our performance with the first quarter of this year, considering that there was a lag. But that also was a little unrealistic because in the second quarter of last year, the mix of sales was very different from a steady state because there was more of global sales and less of India sales. And as a consequence, the profitability ratios were quite skewed in the second quarter. So we did multiple things. So instead of the traditional reconciliation that I do, I will talk about this quarter's performance in relation to the first quarter of 2019-20, which was a steady state year before COVID happened. So when you compare it with the Q1 of 2019-20, we have grown our revenue by almost 6%-7%. And however, at a contribution level, we were lower by 1%. And at an EBITDA level, we were lower by 2%, right? So this is how the numbers stack up. If I have to look at the contribution analysis, why did we lose a percentage from a steady state year? The primary reason has been the increase in the raw material cost, which really started in October of last year and kept marching up and quite violently kept marching up till February. We did a series of price corrections during this period in the market, both in India and internationally. It seemed to pause a bit in February, but by the end of March and beginning of April, it had a violent upward movement again, and that caught us by surprise. And again, we went into another price correction. And for us in capital goods, there is always a lag between a price announcement, a price revision in the market, and the realization of the revision in the P&L. So we have, in this quarter, we have gone through that uncomfortable period of the lag. We have done multiple, in fact, we have done 5 price corrections in the market. It's been very challenging and difficult to do that. But we went ahead and did it because it had to be done. In some of it, we have recovered. Some of it, we have had to absorb. So that's the real reason why we have lost out on contribution in the first quarter compared to the same quarter in 1920. So what do we expect? I think this is a more interesting question. What do we expect that this year will be? So let me talk a little bit about the second quarter. In the second quarter, we expect roughly the same phenomenon to continue because price corrections are being happening. The last one what we did was in June, so that will take a lag. So I don't expect a big change in the margin contribution. I don't see it dropping, but I don't see it significantly going back to recover the raw material price increases. But in the third and fourth quarter, combined, we should come back to normal. And I expect that the full year for 21-22, I expect that the material cost percentage would be almost the same as 21-22. So we'll get it back to that level. In fact, if you look at the first quarter's material cost percentage is 53.7%, and for the full year last year was 53.4%. So with all these changes that we are doing, I'm very confident that we will get closer to that that 53.4 number that we had for the full year of last year. Now, over and above these price recoveries that are happening, we are in the middle of final stages of rolling out a very, very comprehensive cost reduction program at the material cost and variable cost level. Our targeted reduction is 2% on our revenue. So that the project that is going to happen is going to take is over a 10-month period. So part of that 2% we will also realize during the current financial year. So that's why I'm very confident that by the end of this financial year, at the worst case, our material cost percentage will be the same as the previous financial year. So having said that, what about the top line? Now, if you look at the top line compared to, again, Q1 of 19-20, we have grown about 6%. Now, this 6% doesn't reflect the actual situation of the company and the market. We could have grown another 7-8%. We had the orders, we have the thing, but we just had supply challenges. So, which we have overcome in quite significantly in June and July. So therefore, I'm very confident the second quarter and the quarters to follow, the growth in revenue is going to be a lot more compared to 19-20. And I expect when we close the year, our growth, our top line growth at the worst case will be at the low to mid-teens, low to mid-teens at the minimum. So my expectation is even if there is a few percent points of a fractions of a percentage challenge on material cost, we will more than recover on our leverage, So on the top line is going to be a very positive number. Just to give you a little bit more background to that confidence, India has been has recovered very well. Unlike the first wave, the second wave had dislocations in regions, first in Delhi, Maharashtra, then it came to the south. And by the time the south got really intense. Delhi and Maharashtra kind of eased up and business started happening. But everywhere, the underlying desire for business and a positive sentiment remained throughout the second wave. It was always there. It was the inability to deliver which was the constraint and not the demand itself or the buoyancy in the market. So for us in Coimbatore, our plant was running without any stop. We had no issues. The team did an excellent job of managing infections of our people. Very low incidence of infection internally, and very little serious repercussions of infections in our company. So it was done, handled very well. But our biggest challenge was our local suppliers. Their factories had to be shut for extended periods because their employees got infected. Pretty large percentage got infected. So that really challenged our ability to supply. And that's why I'm saying that we could have done a lot higher in top line compared to what we actually did. So that buoyancy and optimism goes into the second quarter and onwards. Now, from the market side, like I said, India, there is still a very positive sentiment. Europe is the revenue is tracking higher than what we had budgeted as part of our strategic plan to invest. So it's a very positive thing. US is coming back from a very low economic activity. But even in that low economic activity, we continue to grow in the US, which was very positive. With the additional stimulus and the infrastructure spend, we look forward to a very positive response from the market for our products in the US. So it's very positive there. The biggest challenge for us is really OSEA, which is Oceania and Southeast Asia. Australia has going through serious lockdowns of cities in pockets, Sydney, Melbourne, now Brisbane. And Southeast Asia, our key markets like Indonesia and Thailand and Malaysia are facing some serious infection-related lockdown. So we'll have to wait and see how these markets. So the first quarter performance of Oceania, Australia was good, but towards the end of the first quarter, they went into lockdown. But the rest of Southeast Asia was quite challenging throughout the first quarter. But I believe that they will come back. So we're very confident that with all this, the top line strength is going to be quite strong for the balance of the quarters. Now, in terms of preventing the same inability, I believe that the third wave is not a question of if, it's a question of when. And when it does happen, how do we ensure that the supply inabilities that we inherited or experienced in the second wave, we don't replicate it in the third wave? Now, we have done aggressive vaccination programs within the company. Now, 91% of our people who have to come to work have been vaccinated the first shot, and 40% have been vaccinated on the second shot. And we are taking this vaccination program to our contract employees as well as the employees of our suppliers. So we are putting a lot of diligence into it, and hopefully in the next few weeks, we will start to see percentages increasing in all these segments of people who have a strong bearing on our supply capability. The third major cost is employee cost. Now, again, last year is not a comparison because there were a lot of subsidies from the US and Australia specifically, which kind of distorted our employee cost. So if you add those subsidies back as a steady state cost and remove the money that we spent on our VRS that we launched in March, the increase in our overall cost that we expect for this year, so if we go back and say what will be the expected manpower cost end of March of 21-22, it will be about between 9-10% growth over the corrected number. The corrected number for 2020-21. The corrected number, the published number is 4,117 million. Of which there was a subsidy of 242 million and a VRS of 37 million. So if you net all, add the subsidy back and deduct the VRS amount, it's coming to 4,322. And we expect the annualized cost this year, including headcount increases, is 4,746. Now, many of these headcount increases are a function of timing and traction in the business that we need to. So this will be the worst case, will be about 9-10%. The actual salary increase that we have done is hovering between 6-7% for this year, which has been a very reasonable percentage compared to what's happening. But there is, you know, with the IT industry announcing the kind of percentages and bonuses, this is a bit worrisome in terms of our attrition of talent. But this is what we can afford and we need to manage around it. So if I take all these factors into account, I think we have a reasonably optimistic year to look ahead to. Sales will be a good growth. Contribution at worst case will remain at the same level as the whole of last year. Manpower cost would go up maximum between 9-10%. The other fixed cost will be a function of how we do our growth on the top line. If it's not there, it's not going to be there. If it is there, it'll moderate itself. So at the end of the day, our EBITDA under normalized conditions would be as a percentage level, a little higher than what it was last year, percentage-wise last year, on a much higher top line. So this is really the summary of our business on Q1 and what we expect for the balance of the year. So I will stop here and I will rely on your questions to clarify more. So thank you again for this opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask any question may press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may please press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. To ask a question, you may please press star and 1. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Ravi Swaminathan from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening.
Good evening, Ravi. How are you?
Yeah, great, sir. How are you, sir? My first question is with respect to the domestic market. If you can give more clarity, granular details on how the demand is there from infra side, industrial side, SME side, how it is compared to say last year or last to last year, it will be really great, sir.
Okay, so in the first quarter, there was one segment which was kind of disproportionately significant. I wouldn't say that was a large proportion of our sales. I don't want to give the specific numbers, which this was compressors required for oxygen generators. Now, we were approached by DRDO, who had licensed the production of these oxygen generators to L&T as well as Tata Advanced Materials Limited. And we were to give a large number of compressors in the months of April, May and June. And that continued into July as well. And we focused on, we prioritized this supply. As a consequence, we could not supply to certain other segments, but it was very gratifying to see most of our customers were understanding of the reason. So they did not cancel orders. They stayed with us and took a deferred delivery. Now, so if I take the oxygen piece out and talk about the market, the buoyancy and inquiry and orders were very solid across all segments. And in industrial, we saw activity across all industry verticals. There was not even automotive, which was challenged. The automotive component suppliers were looking at buying compressors to increase their capacity. So it was, I can't say that there was one segment that stood out, not at all, right? The first way we were thinking it will be food and textiles, food and chemicals and pharmaceuticals, but unlike that, this was across all. So even construction and mining, water well, the regular business has not come back, but there was the OE customer segment was very strong for supply of complete packages to African countries. And we have a very good share in that market this year. We are hoping that this market opens up this year. And I'm very glad to say that the new product that we have launched and we have been testing for the last 1.5 years has gone very solid traction in the market. So when the market opens up, we are ready to regain our position in that market. This time, very, very confident. So all across, it was there. There was a pause in the month of May and June on our aftermarket, right? Because plants are not running, nobody is going to buy spare parts. So that's one more reason why you see there was a challenge on our contribution. And that's come back now strongly. Right? So I can't say there is any one industry. It was across the board.
Got it, sir. And would the inquiry levels, is it safe to say it would have grown by kind of a double-digit number in terms of volumes, etc.?
Sales would have grown double-digit. FY 20 first quarter, yeah.
Okay.
Now we have grown only 5 or 6%, but we would have definitely done double digit growth if not for the constraints that we had.
Got it, sir. And with respect to price increase, what could have been the approximate magnitude of price increase that you would have taken? And is there any other price increase which might be there on cards to compensate for?
The last price increase was done in June. Combined price increase, I'm talking on average, is about 15%.
And
over four to five installments.
And is there any resistance from customers given the fact that 15% price increase is on the steeper side?
Obviously, there is resistance. It's also a function of a lot of competitors delaying that. So customers point to that. But the reality is everybody knows in every business, right? In every commodity, there has been an increase in price, right? So this is not something that is LG's inefficiency, right? It is a reality that it's hitting everyone. Yeah.
Got it, sir. Thanks a lot. I'll come back.
Thank you very much. Anyone who wishes to ask any question, may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Bhavin Vithlani from SBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and Jay, good performance amid. Good performance amidst the challenges.
Thanks, Bhavin.
A few questions here. On the newer products that we would have launched, so one on whatever you did outline, but if you could also highlight about the oil field compressors, how has that been tracking? Because that is one area that you were expecting to change a growth profile.
So, on our oil-free machine, that we have two category of products: the conventional two-stage dry screw, and then our water-injected AB series. Now, both of them have grown exceedingly well in the first quarter, right? Not only in relation to the prior years, but also in relation to the fourth quarter of last year, which was itself a good year. So, and it is not just in India, but globally, right? So this has been a very positive thing. Now, on our AB series, we have now expanded in another few months. We will be introducing those products. We've expanded the range now from a 11 kilowatt up to about 110 kilowatt. We will have oil-free machines using that technology. So it's a very positive thing that we are then sitting on. And the growth has been good. I don't want to give specific numbers, Bhavin, because I don't want that's very sensitive for from a competitive point of view.
We'd appreciate that. Second question is in reference to your
Bhavin, you're, for some reason you're breaking up. I don't know why, but your voice is coming out crackly.
Oh, is it better now?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. The second question is, you did highlight that total price actions of about 15% over the last year or so. Would it be possible to share maybe some of the key categories? What would be our premium or discount to the market leader, maybe in a cash or an Ingersoll? Because market feedback always used to be that.
So the price increases that we have done, I think on average are higher than what the competitors have done. At least that's what the information is. But I have a feeling it's not a question of, you know, competitors not increasing. It is a question of timing. You know, when you're sitting, it all depends on which company is sitting on what inventory at what cost, right? So the minute they use up old costs, then the price increases are timed. So it is only a matter of time because it's not something that is unique to LG. I mean, you look at cold rolled steel or hot rolled steel. You look at scrap. Everything has just gone through copper, aluminum, all gone through the roof. So to answer your question, in India, are we at a price premium? We are not at a premium. Are we at a deep discount? No, not at all. In Europe and the US, are we at a discount? Yes, we are. Is it deep? No. So, yeah.
Appreciate that. The second part is, if you could give us an update on the motors facility. In the previous call, you mentioned there were certain challenges, lack of material to restart, to start the factories.
Yeah. So the challenge was not lack of material. It was a machine that we had ordered with a German supplier, and it got stuck in COVID, and then they had some technical issues, which continues to keep hampering us. Even now as we speak, that machine has not come. But the team has parallelly developed an alternate method of producing the motors. So today we are producing close to 40 to 50% of India requirement is now coming from our motor plant. Right? Now, we are still hoping that we will get this machine in. Once it comes in, we'll be able to increase that percentage quite significantly. Now, it's not a question of raw material. It's just this machine, which just the alternative is to do it manually, which is a bit laborious. And it takes time, and therefore the output is not as high as we would like it to be. Nevertheless, alternate arrangements have been made by which we are making close to 40 to 50% of the Indian market's total motor requirement.
Sure. Just last question from my side. Over the last year or so, we have seen considerable increase in the logistics cost, especially the sea freight challenges on the availability front, which could be shorter term. But on a more structural front, the policy of most of the Western countries are getting more internalized, and for us, we have a large location in India. So do you believe, maybe not in the near term, but in the longer run, maybe having some assembly operations closer to the customer, given the changes we are seeing on the geopolitical fronts?
The decision to assemble closer to the customer or manufacture closer to the customer will be a function of our the value proposition to the customer, Bhavin. It will not get dictated by the current short-term shipping challenges, right? Now, I say that because it doesn't matter where you are in a globally interconnected trading world. Whether you assemble in Europe or India or America, you'll still have shipping. Now you have shipping of machines. Tomorrow it'll be shipping of parts, right? So you'll still have those issues. So that's not a relevant factor in that decision. But you're right. There is a geopolitical dimension. Every country is exhibiting very protective behavior, right? So we need to, that needs to get factored in. But the more important thing is from a customer's point of view. And the third dimension is we need to, we are not a company that is producing compressors at European or American labor cost. We are producing compressors at Indian labor cost. And that is a large contributor to why our cost structures are low. Now we are working on a program, which I've talked about multiple times in the past, where we are able to make compressors by paying salaries that are European or American, and still be profitable at the current level. Now that is a project that is continuing to be worked on. Now till such time, and we think that it's going to take us maybe 3 to 4 years. To get to that point, now we are talking about close to a multiple of 4 times the blue-collar employee at the current level. Not that we are going to pay, but that's the cost that we need to be able to absorb and still be profitable. Now, it's going to take us about 3 to 4 years. Once we are ready there, then we can look at it. Otherwise, we start assembling now, the cost is going to make you uncompetitive.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you so much for taking my questions.
Thank you very much. A reminder to the participant to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ritwik from One Up Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Sir, a few questions. Firstly, on clarification, you mentioned in your opening remarks that we are looking at mid-teen top-line growth in FY22. So is that over FY21 base or FY20 base?
Sorry, can you rephrase that question, please?
Yeah.
Can you repeat that question?
Yeah, you mentioned that we are looking to do mid-teen top-line growth in FY22. So is that over FY21 base or FY20 base?
FY21.
Okay. Sure. And is it fair to assume that the current employee cost around 118 crores on the consolidated level will continue for the rest of the 3 quarters as well?
This is what I explained to you. Last year's employee cost was about 412 crores, right?
Sure.
And out of that 412 crores, we had a subsidy of 24 crores, right?
Sure.
That is one time the job keeper subsidy and the payroll protection program in the US and Australia. That is not there now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So our payroll cost, our employee cost was lower to the extent of that, which is not an increase, that is just a subsidy. So if you add that back and then reduce the money that we have spent, about 3.7 crores on VRS, which is not going to repeat, the adjusted FY21 employee cost is 432 crores, right?
Right.
So against that, our expected employee cost for the year, this current year, is 475 crore. So that represents a growth of around 9 to 10%.
Sure. That clarification is helpful. So my next question is on the split between India and rest of the world. How was it in Q1 FY22?
Sorry, say it again. Please, I missed you there.
Yeah. Revenue split between India and rest of the world for the quarter.
In terms of sales?
Yeah, in terms of sales.
Yeah. Yeah. So roughly the sales today, the current run rate is 50-50.
Sure. And so in your opening remarks, you mentioned about cost saving initiatives, about 200 basis points on the top line. So what are these programs? Can you elaborate on that?
So basically, we are focusing on, like I said, variable cost, which is, if you look at our variable cost structure, 90% is material cost, right? And the other 10% of our total variable cost is other variable costs like electricity and small consumables, right? So the plan is to take cost out by maybe alternate material, reduction of weight, changing design, renegotiation with vendors, new vendors. So it's a combination of using both technical levers to reduce cost and commercial levers to reduce cost, right? So it's a very structured program, and we are pulling very talented people within our company to head it on a full-time basis. So I'm very confident that we will achieve it.
Okay. So, taking a medium-term view, couple of quarters back, you had mentioned that gross margins can be in the range of 47% to 48%. So would it be fair to assume that, once this raw material cost stabilizes, then and the cost saving initiatives that we are taking, would it be fair to assume that, say 2 years, we can do gross margins in the range of 49% to 50% once we realize these cost saving initiatives that we are doing?
So you're talking at a level of material cost of 50%?
Yeah.
Right. Material cost hitting 50% is going to be a function of better pricing, one, as well as lower cost. Now, if you look at the 2% that we are planned to get, which you're very confident, and if you bake that into a 2021 number, it's going to be already 51.4, right? Now, when we change our mix to start selling more of oil-free machines, more of aftermarket, because the more you install machines, the more your aftermarket is going to grow. It is that hitting that 50% is not an unrealistic target. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But in our strategic plan that we had announced to all the analysts and investors, where we are talking about hitting an EBITDA of 16% in 23-24 is without taking these into account. Yeah.
Right.
So that's a purely leverage-driven growth in EBITDA. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this is going to be an added factor. So those are, and I had mentioned that even when I made that announcement, that these are things that we have not taken into account.
And we are looking to do this in 10 to 12 months time, right?
Yes.
Okay, sure. So, and my last question is related to Europe. We are investing in to increase our geographic footprint there, and investing in personnel as well. So when do you think that this will fructify in terms of top line?
So the top line, like I said, we have made a 5-year plan, and we said at the end of the fifth year we are going to break even and then start becoming positive. Now we, as far as the top line is concerned and the extent of loss, we are better on top line and lower on the loss that we had planned. So So we, Europe is going really on the right track, right? In the right direction in that we wanted to go as far as this project is concerned. So the final number for Europe is actually the
24-25. Sure. Sure. Okay, so that's it from my side. All the best and thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ranjit Shivaram from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, good evening.
Hi Ranjit.
One thing which we noticed is that there has been a 2-3 crore EBITDA loss in the subsidiaries when we
Ranjit, can you please speak up or something is wrong? You're sounding a little garbled.
Is it audible now?
Yes.
Yeah, so when we do that subtraction of the EBITDA of the consolidated to standalone, it shows that around 2-3 crores of loss from the subsidiaries are there in the EBITDA level.
Yeah.
So which of these geographies were the majorly impacted in terms of these losses and how do you see this? Yeah, we know that Europe is still in investment mode, but is there something that can throw a surprise in the next quarters where we can turn around some of these subsidiaries?
So the loss, the Europe is the most significant loss, right? And the only loss. There is a marginal loss in Gulf, which is only a transient thing, nothing to be worried about. I don't see it as a surprise that is going to come. It's a very small operation. So Europe is the only region that is making a loss, and that was very deliberately planned. And like I said, the planned loss is actually, I mean, the actual loss is lower than the planned loss. So we are tracking to a good trajectory there.
Okay. And what's the outlook from the three major markets, like Australia is one major market for us, then with Southeast Asia, Middle East, and North America. So how do you look at in terms of growth from this market? If you can give some more color in terms of each market-wise and what's the current scenario out there. And in North America, we are hearing regarding huge spending for infrastructure from the United States. So will we be the beneficiary of that, if you can throw some light on that?
Okay, so Australia, I'm going to respond on a non-COVID situation. So Australia on a non-COVID is in a very strong wicket. There's a lot of opportunities that are there, there's a lot of investment going on in mining as well. So on a non-COVID condition, it's a very solid situation. The same thing with Southeast Asia. It's one of the largest markets outside of India and Australia in that region. So, and we are well placed now. We have built a team. We are very strongly placed with a good team in Malaysia, in Thailand, in Indonesia, and Vietnam, and Philippines. And therefore, once these countries come out of the current situation, there will be we expect it to be very positive there. Gulf is, like I said, it's a small market, and we are growing. US, yes, there is a huge stimulus investment package that the government has rolled out. Definitely there will be the trickle down demand for our products, because we, both our portables as well as our industrials, are linked in some way to the infrastructure plans of that country. Some more directly like portables, some kind of indirectly as the capacity to supply to the infrastructure requirements, the industrials will also grow. So we are quite optimistic there.
Okay, and we have the whole portfolio. Most of our portfolio is already there in US, or is there any gap? we have to?
If you look at oil lubricated and oil free, we pretty much have the full portfolio. There may be, company has got it 100%, they are at 90-odd%, so few percentages, but that's an ongoing process of development.
Okay, and sir, till now in the domestic screw compressor market, one of our domestic competitors, Kirloskar Pneumatics, used to be there in the piston compressors. Now we are hearing that they want to enter into the screw compressor market in a very aggressive way with their own localized manufacturing facility.
Mm-hmm.
So, how prepared are we for that? Because one more domestic competition can that disrupt the current market share? So, what is your overall thought on this?
Well, Kirloskar has not been a stranger to screw compressors. They've been making screw compressors. Excuse me. Just give me a minute. They've been making screw compressors for a long time, so this is not anything new. They have technology and they are trying to build machines, and if we look at our order loss, we are not losing orders to them. And so, well, if it's a free world, and if they're going to build machines and they make good machines, and it's good competition, so we'll compete with them. So we are quite confident of competing. If we can compete with Atlas Copcos and the Ingersoll Rands of the world, I think we can compete with Kirloskar also.
Okay. So you don't see any major disruption in our market share?
No, I don't see it, because it has been going on. No, you at the bottom, you have a lot of these companies that are importing complete machines from China and selling them. We lose a little bit, but it's not like they've dominated and taken over the market, right?
Okay.
Market is growing, everyone's participating. So it's not like there's going to be a disruption in the industrial structure. Yeah.
Okay, and this price hikes which you have taken, we believe that in the next 2 to 3 quarters, we will see that impact in the EBITDA margin.
Yeah.
Okay, sir. So all the best for the next coming quarters.
Thank you, Ranjit.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vipul Shah from Sumangal Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. What type of EBITDA losses we should expect annually from European operations over the next 2 to 3 years?
I don't have the numbers in front of me, Vipul. So we had planned, what we had announced earlier was that we are going to invest in the form of losses of about 190 crores over a period of 5 years, right? So, and we are tracking to something lower than that. So that's the overall number.
Okay, sir. And secondly, once this machine which is held up due to COVID, once it is delivered, what percentage of motor production will be in-house, which is now roughly 50%, as you say?
So that number is not going to significantly increase. It's only going to increase our productivity and our costs, because, like I said, we made alternate arrangements not as a compromise to the volume. We have targeted a certain volume. Without this machine, we had to do it. So the machine comes, maybe from 50%, it will go up to 60 or maybe 65, but the entire production will become a lot more efficient.
Okay, and that delivery will depend on the trajectory of COVID only, right, sir?
Well, COVID is one, and we are also having the supplier is having some technical issues. We have to get that sorted out quickly. Yeah.
Okay, sir. All the best, and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participant, to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Dikshit Mittal from LIC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Just wanted a little bit more color on the growth guidance that you have given around mid-teen. Because you have also said that you have taken around 15% price hike. So that means the whole growth will be driven by the realization gain only, or will there be volume growth as well?
There will be growth beyond. I mean, the price hike is not the only growth that has happened in Q1. Yeah.
Okay.
So there will be growth beyond that price hike.
Okay. And sir, like when you guide for the like gross margin, so because the commodity prices are on an uptrend, so you'll be like making a gross margin in a percentage terms, or maybe you're targeting a fixed maybe per compressor kind of gross margin in your pricing?
No, I didn't understand your question.
Sir, because when you target a particular gross margin, so you target on a per compressor basis absolute margin or maybe on a percentage basis? Because when the commodities are rising, so that means your gross profit may rise in tandem with commodity, right? On a per
We don't like to keep the profit constant. We'd like to keep the profit as a percentage of our variable cost. That's how we have done up our costing model, right? Otherwise, what happens is then you need to, if I do it as a fixed cost, then your EBITDA percentages start dropping, right?
Correct.
So, no, we don't do our costing that way. We do it as a percentage contribution.
Okay. Thank you, Ross.
Thank you very much. Anyone who wishes to ask any questions, may please press star and one now. We have a follow-on question from the line of Bhavin Vithani from SBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity again. So the question is on the U.S., wherein we had two acquisitions. So if you could give us the update of both the subsidiaries. And then we had also targeted to do joint ventures with local people to increase our distribution. So over the last 1 year, if you could give us a progress, that would be useful.
So we had the acquisition that you're talking about, the first one was 2000 and I guess 2012 December. That's Patton. So are you asking about the performance of Patton?
Yes, patents, and the second one which we had announced.
Second one was 2 years ago, which was Michigan Air, right? Now, Michigan Air is growing. Patents is also growing. But like you know, that in patents, there was a competitive action that dislocated our business and our turnover dropped. And now we're picking it back up and we're climbing it progressively back to the levels it was earlier, right? So it is on the right trajectory. Yeah. So Michigan Air is also doing well and it is on the right trajectory. As far as the joint ventures are concerned, we have joint ventures in 5 locations and all of them are growing and they are tending towards profitability a lot earlier than we had planned. So these are good regions that we have chosen in terms of potential, and we have partnered with the right people who have the market and domain knowledge. So it's been a very positive experience.
Just a follow-up here. In the U.S., in terms of the distribution reach that we would target covering the major industrial centers, as a percentage, where would we be currently?
In terms of the defined top 40 distributor served areas, if I have to make a judgment in terms of the quality of our presence, we are only at around 20%.
Sure. And any target of getting to closer to the optimum level over the next couple of years?
There is no optimal percentage. Since you asked a question, I gave you a rough idea. But our goal is, as part of our CK2 aspiration, as well as our strategic business plan, to be strongly present in the top 40 of the distributor served areas, right? So, you know, can I give a percentage? No, I cannot, because it is all a function of what the opportunity is available. If everything wasn't in my hands, then I will put a percentage down. But a lot of it is in the hands of independent distributors. They don't come on board. Whether there is an opportunity for us to incubate joint ventures like we have done, are there people willing to come on board? So it's quite a few variables that are there.
Yeah. Right, sure. That helps. Thank you so much for taking my questions.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Kamlesh Kotak for their closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yeah. Jay, before that, hello.
Yeah, Kamlesh.
Yeah. I just want to understand one broader perspective. Now that it's 1 year since the number two and number three global giants have amalgamated, how the competitive landscape has changed. You see anything that has changed on ground in terms of the competitive landscape from IR and Gardner Denver?
I don't think there is any change in the competitive landscape in a significant way across the board globally. In specific markets, there are opportunities for companies like us. Now, when you have two companies that have come together, both of them have a set of distributors. And when they put the thing together, one of the synergies that they'd like to release is to reduce their channel, right? Make the channel more efficient. So when that happens, then there are channel partners who are looking for alternate products, right? So those are opportunities that come, right? So I would say, is it there across the board in all markets? No, there are pockets in which that happens, right? So other than that, you know, of course, when two companies come together, their profitability improves because there are a lot of synergies, duplications that they eliminate, which is what they did, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they've increased their profitability, you know?
Sure. And just to update, how has been the new product which we launched in terms of the Waterwell series? How has been the response to that in the markets, and how has been the market faring there?
The market right now is very dull, right? There's hardly any procurement of new machines. It's the old machines that are continuing to drill because COVID conditions, cash with farmers, there's a lot of conditions. Mm-hmm. Now there seems to be a bit of some semblance, very initial stages of some green shoots. Now, so that's on the market side. On our product, we have run this product now for almost a year and a half, right? And we've had actually competitors, customers who actually ran the machine in their drilling, right? And the feedback has been outstanding, both on performance in terms of efficiency, cost of drilling, as well as the reliability of the product. So it's been a very positive response. So we're ready when that happens. Yeah.
Sure.
So it's not like LG is an unknown brand. So all customers know it, and it's a very small community. When something good happens, the news spreads fast, and something bad happens, also news spread fast. So something good has happened now, and I think the news has spread well. We got to wait and see.
Sure. Right. Thanks, Jay, for your insightful discussion, and thanks participants for joining for the call.
Sure.
Any closing remarks you want to make, Jay?
There's one area that I did not cover, which I'd like to cover, which I forgot, is our debt position. Compared to March, June debt position, our debt levels have gone up by 10 crores. So from 100 odd, it's went to 110. Now in July, we are back to less than, we are lower than March now. So it was just one of those periods that we had to go through where we had to overstock on inventory because of supply challenge. Now in July, that is back. So debt levels are going to start going down again. Yeah.
Sure. Thanks. Thanks. So with that, we conclude the call. Thanks everyone for joining. Have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you, Kamlesh.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, participant. On behalf of Asian Market Securities, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.